Good morning and welcome to worship here at Joy Lutheran Church. It is great to have you with us on this beautiful Sunday morning. We're glad that you're here, and we know and we believe and we trust that God is present with us in this time. No matter where we are gathering, how we are together, we are the church, and we are called to be God's people. So thank you for your presence this morning. Just a few announcements before we begin our time of worship today. Reminder that our Thanksgiving Eve worship service will be on Wednesday, November 25th at 6:30 p.m. This will be a virtual worship service, so there will not be an in-person option. We ask that you join us through our church website and join us online. And then afterwards, be sure to have a big slice of pie to celebrate the occasion. We're also hosting a live drive-through nativity event. We are looking for families who are willing to adopt a non-pine tree of the Joy property, and your responsibility would be to decorate it and then decorate it for the event on Sunday, December 13th, and then you would be also be responsible for the teardown of that as well. Please email Michaela Tracy if you are interested. Reminder that we do have Sunday school each and every Sunday. Our Sunday school videos can be found on our church website. You can follow, I believe it's the worship tab, and then Sunday school, there are the pre-K and the elementary options for our Sunday school videos. We'd love to have you join us on Sunday mornings for this time for our youngest members. Reminder that during this time, as COVID cases are continuing to rise, we're asking that you remain diligent in the safety practices that we are following here as at the church as well as in the community. Things like washing your hands regularly and often, wear a face mask or other facial covering that covers your mouth and your nose. Make sure you use the hand sanitizer stations provided throughout the church if you choose to join us for worship. Please remain 6 feet apart and 6 feet apart from others outside of your immediate household. And we ask that you join us for worship at home if you are sick or at high risk for illness. Please remember, these guides are meant to keep us safe, and it is how we are called to love and care for one another in this time. Final announcement that I have for us this morning is one of deep sadness, as we have found out that Gordon Tennell has passed away, and so we ask that you hold the Tennell family in your prayers, especially his wife Betsy, in this time.
Pastor Ryan, did you ask if anybody else had any announcements? I've got one. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of the Stewardship for All Seasons team, I just want to let you know what's coming ahead in the next few weeks from our campaign. This year, our church, community, nation, and world have experienced the worst pandemic in over a century. For the first time that I know of, Joy Lutheran Church had to close its doors to our members. This has created obstacles to carrying out our ministries here at Joy Lutheran Church, but because of prayer, faith, and working together, and more importantly, the power of our Heavenly Father, we have not only survived, but thrived. Even though our church doors have been closed, our hearts have been open, and so has our church ministries, but just in a different way. During this closure, we've still provided ministries for our church family and our community. Joy Lutheran Church has made sure that those in need of vital supplies have received them. Those who have had loved ones who have suffered or passed away from COVID or other causes have received comforting care from Joy Lutheran Church staff and congregation. Our Bible studies have continued, and so have our youth programs, in person and virtually. While the pandemic forced us to pause on-site worship services, because of your generosity in the past and investment in our church, we've continued to have online services thanks to the cameras and technologies we invested in. While in-person worship and fellowship is preferable to the online services, our online services have been very effective. Our worship services have been viewed online by more people than who would normally attend and visit Joy Lutheran Church in person. It just shows how God can use the church and the people of our church to spread his gospel, love, and service. And for that, we're filled with joy. Our stewardship campaign this year is entitled Filled with Joy. With everything going on in the world, we the people of Joy are still filled with joy because of the promises of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Bible verse for this campaign is from Psalms 126, verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Our campaign will run from today, November 16th, through December 13th, with Filled with Joy weekend being December 12th and 13th. I'd like to at this time recognize the other Stewardship for All Seasons members, team members, Gail Lehrman, Misty Ruth, Gary Block, and Pastor Rod. Over the next few weeks, you will not hear about budget and percentages of what we are giving. What you will hear about is the amazing ministries we hope to support because of your generosity. We have three ministry initiatives that you will hear more about over the next 3 weeks. These include filling our members with joy, fulfilling our servant hearts, and caring for our place of joy. Our goal is to increase our generosity by $40,000 in 2021 to support these initiatives and have at least 180 statements of intent or pledges given in on December 13th. You will receive mail this coming week that will include a brochure, three bulletin inserts, and describe our ministry initiatives. Please take time to read these materials and have the bulletin inserts available each week when the Temple Talk is held talking about that ministry initiative. May God bless you and bless Joy Lutheran Church as we look to 2021 filled with joy.
That's all the announcements I have for us this morning. I invite you continue with us in our service today, beginning as we always do with the sharing of peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always. I invite you to greet one another who are gathered with you in this time and know that others are sharing peace with you as well. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, in whose image we are made, who claims us and calls us beloved. Amen. Let us take a moment for silent reflection and for personal confession. Holy One, we confess that we are not awake. We are not faithful in using your gifts. We forget the least of our siblings. We do not see your beautiful image in one another. For we are infected by sin that divides your beloved community. Open our hearts to see to your coming. Open our eyes to see you in our neighbor. Open our hands to serve your creation. Amen. Beloved, we are God's children. And Jesus, our beloved, opens the door to us. Through Jesus, you are forgiven. By Jesus, you are welcome. In Jesus, you are called to rejoice. So let us live in the promises prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Amen. We join together in our opening hymn, Praise and Thanksgiving.
Sewing on.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us join together in our prayer of the day. Righteous God, our merciful Master, you own the earth and all its peoples, and you give us all that we have. Inspire us to serve you with justice and wisdom, and prepare us for the joy of the day of your coming. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We turn now to our lessons for this morning.
The first reading today is from Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 7 and 12 through 18. Zephaniah, like the prophet Amos in last week's first reading, presents the day of the Lord as one of judgment and wrath. Descriptions of the last day in the New Testament include details taken from the Old Testament accounts of the day of the Lord. The reading. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their dregs, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do harm. Their wealth shall be plundered and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries aloud there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his passion, the whole earth shall be consumed. For a full, a terrible end he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. Our responsive psalm today is Psalm 90, verses 1 through 12. Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to another. Before the mountains were brought forth, or the land and the earth were born, from age to age, you are God. You turn us back to the dust and say, "Turn back, O children of earth." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You sweep them away like a dream. They fade away suddenly like the grass. In the morning, it is green and flourishes. In the evening, it is dried up and withered. For we are consumed by your anger. We are afraid because of your wrath. Our iniquities you have set before you, and our secret sins in the light of your countenance. When you are angry, all our days are gone. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The span of our life is 70 years, perhaps in strength even 80. Yet the sum of them is but labor and sorrow, for they pass away quickly and we are gone. Who regards the power of your wrath? Who rightly fears your indignation? So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. The second reading today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Though we do not know and cannot calculate the day of Christ's return, we live faithfully in the here and now as we anticipate the day when we will be given eternal salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The reading. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. Here end the readings.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus taught, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent, he went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with him. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master replied, you wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and I gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what is my own plus interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of our Lord. We continue our worship this morning with the children's sermon.
Good morning, Lindsay.
Oh, hey, Pastor Ron.
Okay, I'm picking up on your vibe today. Lindsay, what's wrong? What's going on?
Oh, you know, I was just thinking lately that, you know, I don't think I'm going to sing anymore.
What? You're not going to sing anymore? Why in the world would you say that you're not going to sing anymore? You're a pretty singing girl person.
Well, thanks, but it's not the same. And I love singing at church, and I love singing with my family, and I haven't got to do that in a long time. So it's like,
well,
it's
wait,
not the same.
Wait a minute. Aren't you the person who's singing some of the songs during worship today that we've already heard?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. You can finish singing them. I don't want to sing anymore.
Nobody wants that to happen. Nobody. Singing is not my gift. Well, see, this is what it's about. It's about talents. It's about gifts. It's about the things that God has given you. So in today's gospel lesson, that Jesus tells this story about this master who has 3 servants, and the master gives 1 servant 5 talents and 1 servant 2 talents and 1 servant 1 talent, right? So they each get different amounts of talents, but they're all given something by the master. The master's God, and we're the servants, and God gives us all talents. Now, that last one who had 1, you know what he did? He buried it in a hole.
That doesn't do anything.
No, that's not what we're supposed to do with our talents, Lindsay. We're supposed to use them, not just for ourselves, but to build up everybody so that everybody can believe in God. Yeah.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. Actually, is that kind of like what we talked about last week with how we want our lights to shine, and how God is the source of that light, and when we shine bright, God shines bright too? And
yeah.
Is that kind of the same thing? Or are they?
Absolutely. Lindsay, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. We say that all the time when babies are baptized,
mm-hmm.
and when people are confirmed, and today.
Yeah.
So, Lindsay, you're supposed to let your light shine.
I mean, it does make me feel really good when I do get to sing.
Right on. Yeah. And it makes other people feel good, too, and know that God has given you this gift. Capisce?
Capisce. All right, I'll keep singing.
Great. Let's have a prayer. Here we go. Dear God, thank you so much for giving us all the gifts and talents and abilities and resources that you've given us. Just everything you've given us. Help us to remember, God, that all these things are gifts, and we're supposed to use them so that other people in this world can see how good you are. Help us to remember. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's children said,
Amen. All right, I gotta go warm up.
All right, that's enough. Keep practicing. See you later, Lindsay.
Got it.
See you later, everybody. Bye.
One more quote for scrumptious fudge matter delight, please. The nerve of some people.
I know. Forging a ticket, come on. It's a golden ticket. You found Wonka's last golden ticket in my shop too.
Listen, I'll buy it from you. I'll give you $50 and a new bicycle.
Are you crazy? I'd give him $500 for that ticket. You want to sell me your ticket for $500, young man?
That's enough of that. Leave the kid alone. Listen, don't let anyone have it. Take it straight home. You understand?
Thank you.
Aloud. Let's hear exactly what it says.
Greetings to you, the lucky finder of this golden ticket from Mr. Willy Wonka. I shake you warmly by the hand, for now I do invite you to come to my factory and be my guest for one whole day.
I, Willy Wonka, will conduct you around the factory myself, showing you everything there is to see.
Afterwards, when it is time to leave, you will be escorted home by a procession of large trucks, each one filled with all the chocolate you could ever eat.
And remember, one of you lucky five children will receive an extra prize beyond your wildest imagination. Now, here are your instructions.
On the 1st of February, you must come to the factory gates at 10 a.m. sharp. You're allowed to bring one member of your family to look after you. Till then, Willy Wonka.
1st of February. But that's tomorrow.
Then there's not a moment to lose, Charlie. Wash your face, comb your hair, scrub your hands, brush your teeth, blow your nose.
Get that mud off your pants.
No, we must all try and keep very calm. First thing that we have to decide is this. Who is going with Charlie to the factory?
I will. I take him. You leave it to me.
How about you, dear? Do you think you want to go?
Well, Grandpa Joe seems to know more about it than we do. Provided, of course, he feels well enough.
Yippee! No. We're not going. A woman offered me $500 for the ticket. I bet someone else would pay more. We need the money more than we need the chocolate.
Young man, come here. There's plenty of money out there. They print more every day. But this ticket, there's only five of them in the whole world. And that's all there's ever going to be. Only a dummy would give this up for something as common as money. Are you a dummy?
No, sir.
Then get that mud off your pants. We've got a factory to go to.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. I've always loved that scene. The fact that Charlie has something in his hands that is so unique and so powerful and so valuable, and more importantly, something that gives him such eternal joy. And he was willing to exchange all that joy for the concerns of the day, the worries of the moment, the burdens of his heart. But thank God, I mean, seriously, thank God that Grandpa George set that boy straight and reminded him that he was not a dummy and reminded him of the value of what he had been given. So everything today reminds me of a story that Jesus told that I've always found just a little bit confusing. It's about a woman who had 10 coins. She lost one of the 10, and what did she do? She lit a lamp and searched. She used an amount of oil, which was a limited resource. And she swept the entire floor, which was a dirt floor, and expended an inordinate amount of time and energy, both of which are limited resources. And then, in the most beautiful moment in this parable of Jesus, she finds the coin that was lost. And she doesn't put it in a safe place, and she doesn't hoard it in her pocket so she'll never lose it again, and she doesn't cower in the corner petting the coin and saying, "My precious." No. When she finds the coin, she rejoices. And not only does she rejoice, she calls out to her friends and her neighbors, and she says, "Hey, y'all, rejoice with me, because I found what was lost." And she throws a party. This is the part that confuses me. She probably spends more than that coin was worth celebrating with her friends. But that's not the point, is it? The point is that she understands the value of what she has and what has been found and what she has been given. When we read the gospel lesson today, the parable of the talents, where do you see yourself in this story? And before you answer, let's eliminate one of the characters, that first servant, the one who has the 5 talents and does everything perfect, every little thing, and he ends up making 5 more talents. Obviously, this guy is a suck-up, an overachiever, a goody-two-shoes, a bit smug, if you ask me. It's kind of hard to like and definitely hard to identify with him. So let's narrow down our choices to just 2 people. Are you the normal average person who understands what they have been given, the gift with which they have been entrusted, who receives 2 talents and uses those talents, puts those talents to work, and ends up with 2 more? Or are you that other guy? The one who didn't understand what he was supposed to do. The one who didn't appreciate the value of the gift he had been given. And he takes that single talent and he buries it deep within the bowels of the earth, where sure, it couldn't be stolen, but it also could not be used, could not be seen, could not be shared. Basically, that talent became useless and ineffective under the ground. So listen, my premise today, based on the teaching of Jesus, is just this. How we view what we have been given makes an enormous difference in how we use what we have been given. And I'm not just talking about money, even though literally a talent was a unit of currency at that time. It was worth about 6,000 denarii, or 6,000 days of work pay. So one talent was right around 16 years worth of money, of work. One talent was a whole honking lot of money, a boatload of money, an incredibly valuable sum. But let's assume that Jesus wasn't talking just about money. Let's say Jesus and you and I today are talking about all the resources that we've been given by God. Life. And breath, and daily bread. Every resource we have at our disposal, every good gift, every little thing that has been given to us by God, if we look at it this way and say, that these servants were entrusted with their talents and gifts and abilities and life and resources, and that one takes what he has been given by God and buries it into the ground. What does that mean? Well, it means that he didn't value what he had been given. He didn't use it in the way that the master intended him to use the resources with which he had been entrusted. He didn't see any possibilities. He didn't see any joy or hope or life in what he had been given. He didn't feel excited or happy that the master had trusted him. There was nothing there. Instead, he looked at this talent and he saw it as a burden. He said, because he knew the master was a harsh man, he hid what he had been given because he was afraid. What kind of fear? I don't know. Fear of risk? Fear of loss? Fear of punishment? Fear of looking foolish? Whatever it was, he was afraid. And so that fear caused him to clamp down and tighten up on what he had been given and to not see it as a blessing anymore like it was intended, but to see it as a burden and as a test. So he decided to not use it, to not risk it, to not see the joy or the value or the power that was held within the gift. And that's what fear does to us. It makes us afraid. Afraid that things might change. We might lose what we're holding on to. Or we might not have enough for ourselves. That idea of scarcity, right? Scarcity. That we don't have enough for ourselves. That always leads to fear. And today that leads me to ask all of you, what is it right now in your life that you feel like you're not getting enough of right now? I mean, maybe some of you are lonely because this has been a lonely time and you're not getting enough social interaction. Well, I'm telling you, even though it's not perfect, it's not going to be a handshake or a hug or anything like that, but I'm telling you, someone in our community has been given the gift of visitation. The Holy Spirit has given someone that talent, or maybe many people that talent, not only the ability, but the desire to visit with other people. There is someone who, out of a sense of joy, wants to talk to you. Wants to check in on you, wants to make sure you're doing okay, because that's what God has given them. Maybe some of you aren't getting enough food. Well, I want you to know that someone in our community has been given the gift of generosity. Somebody wants to help you. Someone wants to make sure that you have enough to eat, that your body is strong and healthy in this time of uncertainty. Somebody has more than enough to eat and wants to share that with you because that's what God has given them. Maybe someone out there participating in worship right this very minute doesn't have enough to make ends meet. Maybe the reality of a lost job and lost resources has become too much to bear, and maybe you or someone you know is sincerely afraid. Well, I'm telling you today that someone in our community of faith, in this church, in the middle of the people of God gathered here, does not want you to be afraid today. There's someone who does not want you to be afraid. Someone has been given the gift of compassion. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, they are currently suffering with you. And they want to help you figure out a way to get what you need. And that is the gift that God has given them. My point is, in our moments of greatest need, there are resources that have been given to God's people within the context of the community of faith. There are people who can help. There are things that can be done. There are ways that we can rejoice in the gifts that we have been given by sharing them with all of God's people. What I'm saying is, if we take the sum value of all the resources that we have been given, there's absolutely no reason that any single person should have to live in fear. Of course, it still happens. You all remember the recent ridiculous toilet paper fiasco, the idea that we wouldn't have enough Charmin or Angel Soft or Cottonelle for our precious little derrieres, made us act like idiots and animals at the Walmart. And by our actions, what was our witness? We were showing the whole world that we were living out of fear and scarcity. But really think about this now. Think. Don't you know? Don't you believe that if you were in sincere need, that you could call on this community of faith, the people of God here in Parker, and somebody would have spared a square for your well-being? See, fear stems from a sense of scarcity, a sense that I won't have enough. And boy, howdy, doesn't that attitude just fly right in the face of God, who has promised to love us and to provide for us, who has blessed us, who has given us what we need even during our most difficult times, who has given us this community of faith to hold us together when we are falling apart, who has given us a vast multitude of gifts designed to fill our hearts and this world and the people around us with a sense of wonder and joy. I mean, aren't we supposed to look at our lives every single moment of every single day and say, thank you, God. Just thank you, God. And in return, God says to us over and over again, you're my child. You are precious to me. You are called and empowered and gifted. You have talents, but not to keep to yourself. They belong to me, and everything you have belongs to me. Someday your journey in this world is going to come to an end. But my kingdom and my resources, my life, my hope, my gifts are eternal. So what I've given you is a trust to be used right now for the sake of the world. And I'm not talking about money today. I'm talking about life and joy and hope. Sisters and brothers in Christ, do we have these things or not? We've been entrusted with all the good things that God has to offer. We've been given more than we have ever hoped for. Even in the face of all these temporary ups and downs of this world, we have been given eternal things that come from God to you and to me, as a gift of life. So this comes down to a matter of perspective. Are you a child of God with access to the eternal riches of the kingdom of God or not? See, the only way for us to have a right perspective on our resources is if we have a right focus on the source of those resources. They do not belong to us ultimately. We are using them. We're caring for them. We are stewards of all the gifts that God has given us, and God intends that we use those gifts to share the abundance of what we have been given, the abundance of hope, the abundance of community, the abundance of love, the abundance of providing for those who are teetering on the edge of security. Please don't forget who we are and what we have been given. God intends that we live in an abundance of joy in the here and now and in the life to come, now and forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together our hymn of the day.
Seek ye first the kingdom.
Together with all the people of the church on earth, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So with the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, for the world, and for all who are in need. God of abundance, you have blessed our whole lives with incredible gifts. Yet we know that these are not for our own sake, but for the sake of the world that you love so dearly. Help us to grow as caretakers for all that you have entrusted to us, that we may boldly go out into the world, trusting in the goodness and abundance of your promise to be with us always, and to provide for all our needs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In a world ravaged by natural disasters, virus outbreaks, and selfishness, we pray for your healing, O God. Where there is hurt, make your comforting presence known. Where there is destruction, raise up new life. Where we have turned in, focusing only on ourselves, open our eyes and hearts to see that your kingdom is here, and it is growing through acts of love and compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all our nation's veterans, and we offer our thanks for their devotion and willingness to serve for the protection of our country. Give us awareness of how we care for our veterans. And wherever we are found inadequate, may we redouble our efforts in providing adequate care, counseling, and other life essentials. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are in need this day, for those who are unsure of what the winter months will bring, for those who are in need of food or clothes or shelter, for those who are victims of violence and oppression. We ask your protection to be upon them in their time of need. We pray for family and friends who are in need of your care, especially those who have been affected by illness and injury, as well as those affected by COVID. We hold many in our prayers this day, and we name them to you now, O God. Jill Leonard, Ardell Stafford, Kevin, Jackie, and Troy Peterson, and Merle Brown, as well as the Tennell family mourning the loss of Gordon, the Anderson family mourning the loss of Jack, and the Kleiber family as they mourn the loss of Eileen. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, gracious God, we lift our prayers to you, entrusting all for whom we pray into your loving care, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. At this time, we turn now to our offering. And during this time, especially appropriate for today, we ask that you reflect on the many gifts that God has blessed us. How has God sustained the world with abundance? And how might we turn from a mindset of scarcity to one of trusting and knowing that God has provided all that we need and so much more? Let us take this time of reflection. Thank you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup and blessed it and gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So as you are preparing at home, I encourage you to gather your communion elements and remember and cherish and celebrate that this is the body of Christ given for you. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen us and keep us in God's grace, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together in singing our sending hymn, "Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ."
Thank you.
Beloved of God, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.